Here's one in Fiona. You've been waiting too long, dear. Sorry about that. Ayrshire.
Yep, hello.
Hi, Fiona, you're on talk radio.
Yeah, no, it's about body art and, like, facial and body piercings and tattoos.
Right, are you one of these women with 3 pounds of metal in their face?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Not at all. I do have a couple, don't get me wrong, but no more. But it's like, there is a girl that has went to the extreme and she's in the Guinness Book of Records for having 280 piercings.
Oh, and what?
Yeah, totally, and her face, yes, she has got 3 pounds of metal in her face. Do you know, I think it's nice in moderation, but it's not when you take it to that kind of extreme.
What have you had done?
I'm not telling you.
Is it in your face?
No, no, body piercing.
Oh, is it down below?
Yes. But do you have any?
It's a women's thing.
Yeah, do you have any?
No, I don't. I don't even have my ear pierced.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that, or a tattoo of any, it doesn't, and I don't wear, a watch is about the only thing I adorn myself with.
Yeah, you're quite right there, aren't you?
But is it not addictive? Do you not find that you had one done and then you, we wanted another one done, and then don't you feel like you want to go and get another one now?
No, I think if you set your mind on, when you get the idea and you set your mind on actually having them, if you set yourself a limit, I don't find it addictive at all.
But the way you said that does sound like you're forcing yourself to stop. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm not forcing myself to stop at all because I knew what I wanted. So I went and got what I wanted, but it didn't give me the drive to get any more.
Right. How about tattoos?
Yeah, I have some of them as well.
Some?
Yeah.
And where are they?
Well, they're on my arms, my back and leg. To the extreme measures.
They don't cover your back?
No. Just on the top of my shoulder.
So what's the next thing? Because this seems to have really taken off lately. You walk around any town in the country and there's people with eyebrows with those little bolts in them and their nose has been done and I saw somebody with a bolt going through their cheek.
Yeah. You have heard of Anne Boleyn, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, seemingly there's only one portrait of her that survives, and she wears her upper pearls, but she has got, seemingly, her nipples pierced as well. And that's what made Henry so much, like, attractive to her. That's what was expressed in the letters from one to the other.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. But thanks anyway.
That magnetic attraction.
Yeah, it must be, but thanks anyway.
Perhaps they were magnetic and he was wearing a breastplate at the time. Perhaps, yeah, okay.
Right, thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. Huh. You ever thought about getting piercings? Or Kev, you have actually got piercings, haven't you?
Yeah, many. No, just one. Just my ear.
Uh-huh. Sick boy?
I used to have my ear done. It lasted about a month, but I got bored. So, no.
Nelly? Had your trunk done? No, Nelly's a Christian, and the Christians don't like their bodily adornment. He hates that. Oh, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian.
Yeah.
You should be proud of your faith.
Simon Mayo is.
Okay.
Whoever he is.
Exactly. Get a haircut. Here's one in London. Peter.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
All right.
Listen, I want to get back to that subject of chat show hosts. Jerry Springer, Oprah, that kind of thing.
Yes.
I'd just like to say that I never used to watch any of that crap. I used to always hate them. As soon as Ricky Lake come on, I'd take the dog for a walk or something. My girlfriend was well into all that.
But?
But then one day we got satellite.
Uh-huh.
And we come across the UK Living Channel, and she discovered Jerry Springer. And then I sat down one day, because there was nothing else to do, and I just sat there watching with her. And then I saw the most amazing scenes of us normal people kicking the crap out of each other on national television.
Fantastic.
It was brilliant. I swear to God, you'll never, ever get it here. The politicians will never allow it. BBC chiefs are all fat blokes.
No, I think you're wrong there. I think it's actually on late night on
ITV. It's the Jerry Springer show that's actually on ITV. But it's not, you're never going to get a British version of this.
Oh, I see what you mean. I don't think we need a British version of America. We should come up with our own stuff and let the Americans... Because as a nation, we're not that type of person. We're not the sort of person who goes on TV.
I know, but wouldn't it be fun just to see what kind of people are out there?
Well, we know what people are out there. Just listen to this show.
I tell you, I mean, it doesn't matter about the subject matter, because the subject matter on them shows, or especially on Jerry Springer's show, it's always the same, you know, you're sleeping with my lover, or you stood me up at the altar. I mean, There's actually a thing on this weekend on UK Living called Jerry Springer Weekend, where they're showing it from midday to midnight.
Peter, you don't represent this company by any chance.
No, listen to what I'm saying. I tell you why, I am just raving about this show because I used to be totally against them. And then it was just something that I've never seen before.
And it's the freak show part of it that really got you interested.
No, there was a great one today about my pimp won't let me go. That's true. This woman was
my
a cool
pimp
girl.
Won't let me go tonight.
My pimp won't let me go.
Jerry
and this
Springer.
Guy came on the show and he freely stated, yes, I will not let her go. She owes me money and she's going to work it off. And no matter, forget about the legal extremities of it all, this guy proudly boasted that he was her pimp and that she was going to work it off for him.
Now, I never watch the British chat shows because I can't stand them.
No, I never watch it.
Nothing against the people that present them, but I just don't think that as a nation we have got it in us to be entertaining as a general public. You know, the Americans, they seem to have been born on television. And they perform. But over here, you know, you watch Kilroy and the bloke who just got dumped off Channel 3, the opposite... The time, the place. Exactly. Yeah. Too dull for words. I mean, so boring, you could die watching those programs.
Exactly. That's why they're on at 10:30 in the morning, because they know everybody's gone to work. Nobody's watching them, let's be honest here.
Kilroy has a huge audience. Amazing.
Yeah, but who's watching? It's the Blue Rinse Brigade. That's
unfortunately, you're right, yeah.
You know, that's who's watching Kilroy. I mean, you look at Oprah. Okay, it was true what Kev said earlier, that Jerry Springer only this week has overtaken Oprah in the ratings of chat shows in America. He's not being paid as much as her.
Well, I mean, no, but if he continues to head the ratings in another 5 years, then he'll own America.
But did you know, he used to be a lawyer for 10 years.
He'll be Oprah's pimp and he won't let her go.
The Jerry Springer used to be a lawyer for 10 years. He was even the mayor of a county in
America. That's right, yeah, and he got canned for sleeping with a prostitute.
No, apparently he had some dalliances with prostitutes.
Yes.
And then he was elected mayor because he appeared and said, oh, you know, I'm really sorry, and everybody loved him for it.
Yeah. No, he got fired from being a mayor and then got reinstated, yeah.
But NBC took him up then as a news anchor man.
And yes, that's right. He's had a really amazing history. And,
yeah, he's been around the block. I mean, good luck to the guy.
And now I've got a video player, I'll be able to set it, because it's on at some unearthly hour on ITV. It's like 1 a.m. The same kind of slot they give Beavis and Butthead. What the hell are those people thinking of over
there?
That's
only once a week.
I know.
I mean, on the satellite channel, they're showing it twice a day.
What, Beavis and Butthead or Jerry Springer?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. Well, if ever I can earn enough money to get satellite, then I'll get back to you. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Thanks a lot, mate.
0500 1053 89. It really does frost my arse, as they say in America, that I haven't got satellite. Just think of the Paramount Channel.
Do they say arse?
Everybody go, ooh, Paramount Channel. Ah, I dribble over those.
Yeah.
Well, not literally.
Huh.
Figuratively dribble over their schedule.
You know what they've just got?
And by the way, what is it with Channel 4? They're showing Beavis and Butthead, right? They're throwing it away at 1:30 in the evening, but they're showing the same ones that they've shown already.
You know Paramount show Beavis and Butthead?
Well, I would say, would you tape some for me, but I'm still waiting for David Letterman from about 4 months ago.
And I've just got Duckman as well, which is quite good.
Here is a call in Essex. Hello, John.
All right.
Oh, you want to play the game?
Yep.
Okay, our first contestant on this thing that Kev put together today, you've got 8. Not many, just 8 to get through, and we'll send him what? Do you want a jibber-jabber?
You can't, you've given that away.
I'm giving this away, but I can go and buy another one.
Oh.
There weren't many left in the shop, by the way.
They're very popular.
They are very popular. Would you like a jibber-jabber?
Yes.
You sounded rather too keen.
Yes. You're beginning to freak us out now, John. Okay, we'll give you that or something else of our choice. Here is number one.
It always sounds easy when you're listening on the radio than when you're actually listening on the phone.
I know, doesn't it? Oh, he's a loser, baby, so why don't we dump him? Here is a call in Barnsley. Nigel.
Hi, Nick.
What's up?
Best album ever made.
Now, wait a second, let me guess. The best album ever made is, Boiled Beef and Carrots. That was the title track. Am I close?
No. The Joshua Tree by U2.
You're saying that the best album ever made was the Joshua Tree by U2?
Yeah.
Oh dear, I'm afraid you've failed this test, but thanks for playing. Let me just check. Is that all you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here's one in Birmingham. And, oh, blimey, there's another duff call. Andrew.
Hello?
Hello, Andrew.
Hi, I'd like to talk about the demise of Aston Villa.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and you can speak to Danny next week. the footballing... we do football all day, mate, not here. Here's one in Glasgow. Steve.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, Steve.
So I've got two things I wanted to talk about.
Go right ahead.
I want to talk about either Kev, Robbie Williams...
Yeah.
Or Cal McGiffin. Well, let's talk about all three, but which one first?
What an irresistible combination.
Yeah, I'll say. Kev, Robbie... Can we skip Robbie Williams? Is it a small point you want to make about Robbie Williams?
No, it's quite a large rant, in fact.
Oh, really? Can you sum it up in a phrase of 10 words or less?
Well...
Can't stand the man, right?
Well, I've got to ask you this question first about all three. Is it possible to use the word arse on the radio?
Please don't.
No, you can't say arse on the radio, no.
Right.
Arse is a completely forbidden word on the radio.
Okay then, right, I'll do my best.
Radio authority rules specifically prohibit using the word arse on the radio.
Yeah. Right, Robbie Williams, what an arse. Then we go to either Kev or Carol.
Okay, let's have a brief one about Kev. Bearing in mind that he gets very, very stroppy about anybody having a go at him.
The worst thing about Kev is...
He's stroking his little beard.
I'm chewing a pencil.
If he so much as fart in his direction, he's a heart attack, man. If anyone just... Is it like a comment that maybe...
I know, he's...
Semi-controversial. Controversial.
Yes.
Steve, how about you try working with Nick Abbott, huh? Then you'd understand why my nerves are shot to hell.
And now Carol McGiffin?
Just before we leave him. Just before we believe Kev, can we just say that I think he's got a fake Scottish accent as well?
It's the second time I heard that. You're rumbled, mate.
Who said that?
I've actually heard somebody else on this show say that you have a fake Scottish accent. You actually come from London. Oi!
Shut it.
Now, Carol, go ahead.
Right, Carol. Right, you said Carol just got a haircut, didn't you?
Oh, right, yeah.
But by any chance, was it a butch or a femme hairstyle she got?
A butch or a femme hairstyle? What are you saying? It was quite feminine.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, I phoned up last week and suggested that she might not be what she is.
Yeah.
And she might be,
Right. No!
The other way.
Happy? Usually. Here's one in... oh, it is a call in London. Oh, Ricky. Hey, Ricky, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey, Ricky.
This is about revenge.
Oh, you're speaking too softly, we can't hear you.
Do you believe in revenge?
In revenge?
Yes.
Only if it's served up cold.
No, what it is, right, a couple of months ago, I went to this place, I can't mention it, they told me not to, and I was sacked from this place, okay?
Now, why were you sacked? Was it your fault?
No, it was my fault.
Okay, why was you?
Well, it was in this venue where I worked, and what it was is this girl wanted some ice in her Baileys. Okay, I'll give her the eyes.
Did she say,
air? No, listen, right, I'll give her the eyes. And one of the blokes who was in charge, after 15 minutes, he called me in the office and said, you're suspended. I said, what for? He said, misuse of the till, okay? He said to me that I give her a Baileys, okay?
Alright, okay,
I said,
so...
No, I'll just give her the eyes.
Right,
and anyway, that was it.
And the revenge part was?
So the revenge part is, I know a lot about this place. Well, I even painted my digs where I was, yeah? Because I wanted to stay there, yeah? I painted it all out, I've done all that for them. And they was all, we're going to shut the place down in 3 months and then build on it.
So the revenge part was?
The revenge part is, I know all about this complex. Do you think I should go to a newspaper and tell them what I know about this place? How they treat the public?
Only if you prove all of it.
I can prove it.
No, but you just saying that it's true is not proof. You actually need
proof.
Real proof. Well, there's nothing stopping you going to a newspaper. Whether the newspaper actually prints it or not is another thing.
What these companies are doing is they're cheating the public.
If you're going to make libelous accusations against a company, then you really do need proof. But sure, go to a newspaper. Why not?
Well, what I'm saying is, do you think that if I got the, I can get the proof, yeah? Do you think that I'll be wrong by getting that revenge back on that company after what they've done to me?
It depends on whether you're protecting the public from being ripped off abused in some way. Well, that sounds right to me.
Do you think I should go ahead and do it?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, this is going to be a big story if I let it go, I'll tell you. I know, it's a fact.
Can't wait to read it on the front page of the Telegraph. Cheers.
When is that, I'll ring you and said that was me.
Fax it to me. Good man. 0500 1053 89. It's the station that not only reports the news, we make it too.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello?
You want something to shake, Mike?
No, I'm fine. No,
hello?
I'll just shake my moneymaker.
Here's a nice pair.
Hello?
Thank you.
Hello?
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 I much prefer the...
Hello?
You forgot to put the disclaimer on.
Hello?
Nothing that Mike says makes any sense.
Yeah, right. We're being dangerous tonight, Mike.
Oh, right. Taking off both buttons. You would have loved it last night. We were talking about offering people who reach retirement age in the year 2025, as a third of the population will be over the age of 60, and allowing for the fact that the remaining two-thirds will be divided between those that are going through the education system and maybe having children. So there's about a third of the population holding everything else up.
And I said, good. Because I'll be one of the ones that they're holding up.
So I thought to myself, here's a thing, what we could do is offer the vote to people. They could say, yes, I'll take the tablet after 5 years, because, you know, they would have over a 20-year span between 60 and 80. At today's rate, £100,000 in terms of pension. So why not, you know, have 5 years and 50 grand...
and really live it up.
And have a jolly time and do all the things you wanted to do and then take the tablet after 65, you see.
I was thinking of taking the tablet after the first hour.
Yes. Well, I can see them from where I'm sitting.
That's
here,
right.
Actually. They're standing. In case of emergency,
that's
swallow
right.
This.
Yes.
And somebody phoned up and said I was worse than Adolf Hitler. And I said, well, no, it's optional. It's not obligatory. You don't have to do it. But I thought it'd be good, because all those places you want to go, people you wanted to see, and it's 60 to 65, you know, pretty mobile and stuff like that. So you can do it all and say, right, and I'm gone. My present to humanity is that I shall not be a non-earning member of it. Because it's quite a frightening thing. I mean, it's just the concept of a third of the population not being at work because they're retired.
Oh, I dream of such a thing.
Yeah, you dream. No, what do you have when you say that?
I dream of not working.
You just said to me, if there were 10 days a week, you'd be doing every one.
All of them, yeah. Well, as long as you don't say anything controversial on your show, I guess that's okay.
Well, that's perfectly all right. No one would mind. So anyway, after about half an hour, people got round to my way of thinking and said, well, let's do it at 40.
Hang on. That's a little too close for comfort. What happens for people over 40? I guess they're okay, because they're passed and the law comes in after they're over... What on earth are we talking about?
I don't know. Anyway, apart from that, it's good. Yeah. So what else are we going to do tonight? Oh, I had a small moment, because we have the new computer set up in.
Oh, the new computer's very good.
Very sexy.
Well, it looks nice.
So typed out the program, did it all the research notes, said print. And it said, print drive has not been installed. Bitch.
I'm amazed that I haven't, to this point, physically picked up my computer and thrown it out the window. It is the single most annoying thing I've ever bought.
Mm.
And it's just so... it's more infuriating than losing my keys, which I do every single day, because it sits there and just...
I know what I'll do when I get back from America. I'll bring you one of those key finders that you just whistle.
With the whistle thing?
And it goes, over here. That's what you need. I'll bring it back for you from America.
Because you know how to whistle, don't you?
Oh, you know that.
You just put your lips together and blow.
Well, that's
not quite what I had in mind.
No, but it serves to make the point.
I guess. So what have you got coming up?
The psychics. Unlike the French psychics, these know what's going to happen.
Yes, that's right.
I heard that.
So,
Christian Dion from Los Angeles.
Christian Dion.
Christian Dion. He's
great. I've got a pair of his socks, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
I'd like to speak to him about them, because they don't match.
Well, he's got another pair at home just like that.
He does?
So it's something you've got in common, but you know. And in addition to that, we've got Sue Cawthorn, who's the dream psychic. Really? Interprets dreams. Brilliant intuitive, as is Christian. And we'll also be talking to the psychic car mechanic, because I love that.
The psychic car mechanic?
The psychic car mechanic. I must ask him, I said, well, should I change a car? I don't need one. I never drive. It's ridiculous. I used to drive all the time.
Did you have a car at the time?
Yeah, well, I used to borrow it, you know. They said it was all right.
Mike's on after 10 o'clock, but then... You knew I was going to say that, didn't you? News in from NASA, they've just found huge deposits of cocktail sausages on Pluto. Updates at 10.
Now, have you read that? Are you going to read that piece of paper now?
What piece of paper?
Well, you had two things to read.
Oh, yeah.
About the other Nick.
Yeah, Nicky Horn's going to be here.
Yeah. Deja vu, huh?
Yeah, this Sunday, you got the chance to talk live to Brian Adams. He's Nicky Horn's first guest in Access All Areas. It's a new interview series every Sunday evening at 6 when Nicky meets superstars and puts them on the line to you. That's Brian Adams this Sunday evening at 6.
With Nicky.
On Talk Radio.
There's a good argument for listening.
Cool. I scan through the papers as I do each Saturday. It's a complete waste of time because there's never anything in them. There's never anything in them. What's in them?
Nothing.
Apart from this, I think this, the typeface looks like the Telegraph. A headmaster stood up halfway through a play and demanded it be stopped before marching out with his 84 pupils in protest at its content. The actors stopped their performance and the lights went up at the Anthony Minghella Theatre on the Isle of Wight as Jeremy Seward left with the children and other teachers from the school. Mr. Seward, acting headmaster of Trinity Middle School on the Isle of Wight, had been told that the play Compost concerned environmental issues, but he was shocked at a character who pretended to urinate on stage, took photographs up women's skirts and walked around with his trousers unzipped. He sat through the first 15 minutes of the play, but then shouted to the lighting box, "Will you stop the performance? Stop it! It's not suitable for our children." The director, Jane Emery, admitted that the play would have been more suitable for older children, and the school should not have been told that it was suitable for pupils of 10. She said, "I apologize if the school was offended." The entire group on stage was flabbergasted by his outburst. Their flabber had never been so ghasted. And all of the kids who were being dragged out of this great play were going, "Oh, sir." Could you imagine? They must have been thrilled. Probably all sitting in the smoking section. And they were all really knocked because they had to leave their beer in the bar because they don't allow you to take glass into the theatre area. I hate when that happens.
Plastic cups.
That's right. What else? There's the El... Oh, I want to read this before we go. Remind me to do the El Nino...
Okay.
...story. That's too funny. And then there's... I swear, I never get to do anything on this show that I actually want. I'm too busy talking to these annoying people that call.
No. Okay. He's joking.
So there's this... I bring in all of this good stuff, and I never get to do any of it. It's a 2.5-hour show. We don't do anything, but there's never any time to do anything. And nobody in there actually does anything either. You just sit around, you come in here, you drink Talk Radio's coffee, and you collect their money, and then you go home by cab. What is it that you people in there actually do?
Creative.
So how about this? The Vietnamese authorities said this week that they were ordering cat meat restaurants to close and outlawing exports of cats to China because of growing problems with rats. Officials said bumper harvests meant that the rodent population was booming and that people should switch to eating rat instead.
I love the taste of Vietnamese rat in the morning. Tastes like victory.
That movie is on tomorrow, by the way. I bet they show it in widescreen. God bless them. It's on Channel 4, Apocalypse Now.
Time.
One of the best movies ever made. I think it's on at 10, something like that.
Tape that.
Yeah, tape it while you're listening to Talk Radio.
Of course.
There's this story about New York minding its manners. If I do all of my stories, I'm going to be speaking just me for the next 10 minutes. Do we want that, or should I take some calls? Because some of these people have been waiting since last week.
If you're talking for the next 10 minutes, I think Mike Allen's going to get very annoyed.
Blimey, it's only 6 minutes now. So I charge through them. Everyone's going to have to be super brief. Paul, Wigan. Okay, that's brief enough. Here's East Sussex, Georgina.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Georgina.
I'd like to ask a question.
What's your query, madam?
Why is it whenever a girl is friendly to a bloke, a stranger, why do they always think that either A, the girl fancies them, or B, they want to go out with them?
Is friendly a euphemism?
What do you mean by that?
You want me to give you a synonym for a euphemism?
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know, dear. It's because all men are pigs.
Are they?
Yes, all of them. That's an actual fact. Trust me, I'm a psychologist.
Right, okay.
Okay. Here is Newport. Hello, Paul.
Hello?
Yes, Paul.
Richard Yoett is sexy.
Richard? What?
Richard Yoett is sexy, and so are you. Nice.
Here is Darby. Joe. Joe. Too late. Rochdale. John. Oh, you, it's an game contestant.
Hello.
All right, let's get rid of you really quick.
Carol McGiffin. Hello?
One more time.
Oh, sorry, is that a...
That's it. Yes, that's not a car starting. It was...
I never heard it before, so I'll have a wild time in a dark at Ian Collins.
Who? Loser, baby. Richard in London. That's the new album from Metallica.
I thought it was a compliment, darling.
It's one of those death metal bands. I almost couldn't say it for a second. Now, what's the out here? 59:50, and we've got... well, plenty of time.
Did you do screenless?
No.
Okay. Don't do screenless.
Shall we do screenless? Just a couple. I'll pick up a call from Mike. I know I will. Hello, is there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. My name's Rory Thompson.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air. I'm actually on air.
You're on the air now.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, I just want to talk about Jerry Springer for a little while.
We haven't got a little while. I'm very sorry, mate. Call next week. Here's another one. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Very much like to speak to Christian Dion, please.
I'm afraid you've come through the wrong studio, so you'll have to call after 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
You're getting friendlier.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You want to speak to the psychic?
I did, really, yeah.
I'm sorry, come through the wrong studio, you have to call after 10.
Okay.
People start hyperventilating when Mike comes in. That's all they want to talk about.
Maybe
now.
You should do a reading for one, then.
That would be wrong.
Stab one more up, and if it's a psychic call, then do a reading.
America has rediscovered the art of good manners. After more than two centuries after rejecting class consciousness, gentlemanly deportment is now the in thing in New York. Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, you know, he's been very successful in cleaning up the streets of New York and making it safe for schmucko tourists. He now insists that civility is put in place instead of the traditional me-first approach of New Yorkers. He cut the murder rate by more than half, Mayor Giuliani, and has turned to creating zero tolerance towards even the most minor crimes. So now the phrase that you're hearing in New York is, may I please have your wallet? And, oh, excuse me, I seem to have shot you. Civility, it counts for so much. How long have we got now?
About
1.5 minutes.
Yeah, a minute and a bit.
I've done the cat story. I think it's time for the El Nino story.
You have time?
I don't know. Where's my banging piano music?
Well, it's not here yet.
Oh, plenty of time then.
It's not arrived for another few seconds.
A man called El Nino is being plagued by telephone calls from people blaming him for the El Nino storms. Mr. Alfonso Nino, 75, a retired Navy pilot from California, usually hears callers out before sympathizing with them and hanging up. But recently he slammed the phone down after one woman called at 2 a.m. You know El Nino, it's the ocean circulatory system that's giving California apparently one of its stormiest winters in years, and everybody's very upset about that. He's listed in the phone book as El Nino. I've had more than 100 calls, he says, mostly from people asking me why I'm causing such bad weather. And wanting to know when the storms will end. One caller told him that he was responsible for his daughter losing her virginity because she was unable to get home one night after a storm and blocked the road. I said I was sorry, although I assured him I didn't have anything to do with it. El Nino. And as soon as some of my friends in India get hold of Mr. and Mrs. Foon's son, Tai, they really are going to give him a piece of their mind. and one stupid news bit to end. A practical joker tricked 37 people into smashing their telephones when he rang them up telling them to destroy them because their machines were faulty. I think there's something wrong with your radio.